Trinity Continuum Aeon, Vark Force Salvation, is a production of Simulacra Studios. You can find us on Twitter, at SimulacraRPGs, and on YouTube and Twitch, at SimulacraTV. If you'd like to support the show and the channel, visit patreon.com/SimulacraStudios to become a patron. Patrons are invited to our private Discord server, get exclusive behind-the-screen information, and first-chance access to casting calls and other gaming opportunities. Now, let's join our brave heroes in their battle against the Aberrants. Hello, hello, and welcome to Simulacra Studios presents Trinity Continuum Aeon, Vark Force Salvation, the finale of the campaign.
Woo!
I am your humble story guide, Scott, and I am going to throw it to Sean to start the introduction wheel.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sean Kreef. I am playing Wu Sasar, the Upeyawamako teleporter who has a serious hatred of all things aberrant, and is hoping to keep his friends safe for just a little bit longer. And I'm going to pass it down to Jonathan.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jonathan. I am going to be playing Rafael Alvarez Castillo, the group's secret talent, hacker and nerd extraordinaire, and determined to be able to make it back to Earth to be able to go on his first date. And with that, I'm going to toss it to Josh.
Hey, everybody. I'm Josh Heath. I am playing Looks Upward Toward the Stars and Sees Danger Ear Laughs At and Destroys, more quickly known as Laughs. Delta Operative Laughs is a listener, a space psionic starfish being, and I just love saying that. I had thought I was going to get a starfish costume for this character at some point while playing, but I could not find one that was either not outrageously expensive or not completely ridiculous looking. And I was willing to go ridiculous if it was cheap, but
you couldn't find a Patrick Star.
It was like $96 or something like that. I was like, no, that's a step too far for this. But that said, Laughs' pronouns are they, them. And I'm going to kick it to to Nigel.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nigel O'Rear. I will be playing Flight Lieutenant Jude Fletcher this evening for the final time, at least for this game. Who knows? The resident superior and functioning alcoholic of the group. My pronouns, as well as Jude's, are he, him. I will pass it on to, I think only one person hasn't gone.
I think so.
So.
Well, I guess that leaves me. I am James. I will be playing Staff Sergeant Logan McCall, the ex-con, not really a con anymore, kind of released to do this, and then probably going back to prison if he ever sets foot on Earth again. I don't know. His pronouns are he, they, as are mine. And I'm ready to light things on fire because I'm pyromaniac.
All right. And because we forgot, my pronouns are he, him, although I play varied genders and identities. And
such. You are the world. And
I am the world, and the world contains multitudes.
Likewise, he, him. My apologies. So is Raphael.
Same. Yes. Yeah. He, him, and he, him.
When we last left our heroic squad of Varg pilots, they had launched from their secret psionic hideaway within the Vega system with a plan in hand to sneak their way onto Vega Prime plant a psionic beacon that will allow the clairsentience back in the Sol system to analyze and catalog all of the colony's secrets as a prelude to invasion. They, like I said, they've got a plan in hand and are launching through their teleportational aperture back into the solar system of the Vega system. So we are using the Goliath system here to get us to the point where they get boots on ground. And we have gone through the planning stages. Now we are into the transport stages. So the next 4 or 5, we are 4 milestones out of 13 to pull this off and get boots on Vega in the right place. So the planning stages took 4 milestones. Now we are in transit. Who would like to take the first milestone, which is really going to be about positioning and like getting yourselves ready for your approach to Vega Prime? Who would like to describe and overcome this challenge?
I'd like to ask a further question if I can. When you talk about positioning, are you talking about avoiding obstacles, finding the right way to approach, or are you talking about actually moving around said things?
Let's go with the first set of things. Like you're actually like plotting the course in real time now that you're in system and you have direct telemetry.
Okay. I think that's still in Laughs's court, but I don't know if anyone else has a.
So the superior power superior processor states that I can automatically overcome 1 milestone when dealing with math, physics, or mapping. Would that be applicable to the Goliath system in general? And if so, to this particular instance?
Yeah, since it's that specific, I will definitely say that you can just use that superior power now that you're in system, you have basically plan meets action, complete the rest of those equations, and without the need of a roll, actually, because that is super, super potent in this situation, because these rolls are all difficulty 5.
Yes. Are y'all okay with me doing that?
Yeah. Seems like a good use of it.
Yeah. Saving our resources for later.
Yep, for sure.
I thought I was going to be the one that would be the best at this because I have spatial sense, but I'm glad I didn't have to do it.
Yeah. But anyway, you basically marry real-time information with the rest of your planned coordinates, and you have found your sort of, you have identified your insert vector. Now it's the matter of getting the transport ship that has all of your Vargs telekinetically tethered to it into that vector. And this is definitely going to be making a pilot roll. Who would like to make this pilot roll?
So my pool is 8. And I've got, I think, big guns, blades, we're on.
Not to cut you off, but I am instituting the rule that you can't do 2 in a row.
Oh, well, never mind then. Ha ha.
My piloting pool is also 8.
Mine is a 9. Mine's or potentially 10. A 10.
God damn it.
Somebody else take it.
So okay. could be either my Laughs or McCall, and that's good either way.
Unless we're resisting G's, then mine is like a 5.
I'm just double checking a gift real quick to see if it has anything to assist. It does not look like it does. So it would really just be a straight roll for me. Where's my... There's Discord. That is 5 on the nose.
Okay, so McCall takes the wheel. He transfers control of the transport's navigation to his console, and it's a rough one. There's no leeway to spare, but you manage to get yourself into a vector that essentially pilots you around a large in-system asteroid that basically provides a gravity assist to get you in so that you don't have to...
So we slingshot.
Yeah, you slingshot around it so that you're not coming under propulsion, which might be more detectable than just an object slinging towards the planet.
For all the other sensors in system, unless like passive system, we look like just another space rock.
Yeah, and a very small one to be, for all things considered.
Yes.
So yeah, you managed to get that. So that is another 2 milestones down. So we are at 7 of 13. You are a rock. Next is going to be, and I'm going to start noticing, because now you guys are starting to come within sort of the sphere of influence of Vega Prime. And this is definitely noticeable to the Scions or Psi Active in the group. But the other two do notice that sort of that vitakinetic fluid that fills all of your cockpits starts to warm up a little bit. Like it's kind of like a frog in a pot scenario. You don't actively notice it until you see like temperature readings on some of your consoles. So it actually starts to heat up a little bit. Even that sort of bulwark that it gives against you is going to make this consider a light quantum flux zone for the purposes of psi rolls. And it very well may get heavier from this point on. So you are a floating rock, and you are starting to pick up on sort of your sensors are starting to pick up off like radio communications, interference from just the general like powerful radiation and other things. So your systems are starting to get a little patchy, and you want to make sure that you're in tight control of your own communications. So I'm going to need a technology role from someone to manage the sort of the general interference that is getting pushed your way.
Someone, and then all heads turn towards Jonathan.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be me. All right, here we go. Just come on, dice roller, do the thing. That is 5 6. Wait, no, that's another 10. One moment. 5 successes.
Excellent. You do a quick patch job. You consult with your onboard SI or AI now to start managing the sort of the interference and the systems. Working in simpatico with one another, you are able to patch everything so that the interference doesn't cause much damage and that you don't start leaking things from your own communications. You are reaching visual range where your scanners are starting to pick up detail around Vega. And you are, once again, this is one of those scenarios where your plan has to incorporate real-time data. So as you are sort of plotting out and you know generally where you're supposed to be on the planet, and you're starting to reach that vector to where you're going to start. You're going to have to burn to do basically a course correction to get you in line for where you need to go. And this is going to be a larceny roll in order to do so stealthily, so that you can get course correct, so that you can land where you need to be.
Does anyone have larceny?
I actually do.
McCall's the criminal.
Oh, way to adhere to the stereotype, Staff Sergeant.
I was a street kid. I had to learn how to steal cars and shit.
I'm not complaining to know this now.
Only problem is you made our other role in this segment,
as
right?
As long as he's not one, as long as it's not in a row.
Okay, cool.
I'm looking to see if I have anything that might apply to it, but I don't really have anything fancy, so it's just going to be a straight roll.
Wait, just a second. Scott, you said this is about avoiding detection, yes, right? While I usually would totally agree that larceny makes a lot of sense, would it fit for laughs to be able to use some some clairsentience elements and some cunning to kind of go around that instead.
I'll allow it. You can make a psi roll. Okay. Note that this is going to be at +1 difficulty. Sure. Because you're in a light quantum flux zone.
Would that make it six difficulty?
It would make it six difficulty.
Okay.
Because, yeah, we were using milestones. The difficulty just lumps in all of the other things that you're dealing with.
So let me pitch this as instead of actually actively using clairsentience, mm-hmm. kind of understanding the way things work as a close combat fast planning mm-hmm. type of role, where it's like, if I were approaching this, okay. trying to be, you know, aggressive, etc.
Yeah, sure. I'll allow that. Yeah, that'll be fine. You can do that. Okay. And that will not incur the plus difficulty.
Cool. I'm going to spend 3 psi.
Okay.
The reason being that I do not need to make a roll for this. But this is favorable outcome that if I need a reroll, I can do so. Mode dots plus successes. Actually, I do need to roll that. I will not do that. I'll just roll this
straight. You can do so in preparation.
Okay.
Just note that difficulty will apply.
Cool. That's only 2 successes on that, so 1 success.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me update your momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is a failure.
That's only for the favorable outcome.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
Just
okay.
So I can get a reroll if I need to.
Okay.
This is much better. 2... 3, 4, 5 successes.
Okay, you got it. So yeah, you're able to make this burn in a quick, stealthy way that that you know plots out. However, unfortunately, you even though you're on the right vector, your sensors start to blare up with enemy contact, like as a patrol of what seems like sort of autonomous drones enters into your they're going to be passing right through your vector and will no doubt detect and engage you unless you're able to take them out quickly. So this is definitely going to be some sort of combat role to wipe out these motherfuckers.
I got this.
Yeah.
The shuttle's not armed, right?
The shuttle's not armed, but you are in your Varg.
Okay.
And you can use your weapons to do so.
Yeah, I will use said weapons to do so. Major coil gun recording for duty.
Blow it up.
I was going to just teleport them all away, but this is much more fun. Eight
successes. You, in a flash of weaponry and kick-ass, you know, space explosions that shouldn't happen, but happen anyway. You pop all of these drones right in the moment before their sensors pick you up and presumably inform planetary security about what's going on.
Path is clear, fellas.
Remind me not to piss you off, Wu.
Indeed. So that, I believe, is going to be 8 milestones, or am I mistracking? We did 1, 2.
That was 5.
We're on 9 total milestones.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the clutch point. This is the time when you guys need to deploy your distraction. Because you know that even, you know, as far as you've gotten without any problems, you can't just enter right to the base of the spire of the colony citadel without some sort of distraction. Now, I know that there was talk about a nuke being deployed for such purposes, but if anyone has another idea and want to hold the nuke for something else, that is up to y'all. But who would like to create this distraction for the final approach?
If we're going for the nuke, I would say me, because I'm the demolitions expert.
Okay. So, where are you? And I need to know this for later purposes. So as you're sort of beginning to resolve the city, I'll give you a better layout of it. So obviously the most noticeable thing is the spire, and you are just now beginning to be able to see the form of the colony above the planet itself, sort of right above the spire, barely out of atmosphere. And below is this massive, sprawling semi-grid. It's not a perfect grid, but it is laid out pretty regularly, pretty systematically, of just like nearly identical cube-shaped buildings. At the edge, you see that there is like a ring of other facilities that look different, that may have various different purposes. But yeah, that's the general setup of what you're seeing as you're coming into view and your sensors are starting to pick up data from the planet.
Now, we had discussed not nuking the city itself, but somewhere outside of the city, correct? My brain is telling me, throw it at the colony, do it. But I don't think that will be very effective.
Do you remember that scene in Mars Attacks? When they send out like this tiny little ship and it like takes the nuclear explosion into a little balloon and then they smoke it? That's what would happen.
Yeah. No,
literally, that's what would happen.
That's what my brain was saying, but I'm like, no, bad.
Scott, I have a question real quick.
Sure.
Can we use 2 milestones on the nuke?
Sure. Yeah, we can. If you want to maybe plan this out a little bit better before firing it.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, if Logan wants to prime it, I can deliver it somewhere not in our path.
Ooh.
Because we don't have a missile, correct?
No. Yeah, you just have a warhead.
Correct. So yeah. Given. The general level of crazy space tech that the Eon Society has access to, would it be reasonable to say that the warhead is somewhat programmable in terms of like shaped charge?
Yeah.
I had already gone through and done the maximized detonation on it, which I believe we had selected the third option of decrease armor rating of any stationary object the bomb is designed to destroy or blow a hole in by 2. Mm-hmm. So Logan would be looking to throw it at something that looks somewhat built up and more protected other than the spire.
Okay, we'll insert a milestone before this, and say if you guys want to make a tech or culture roll, one of those sort of determine like what, because like I said, a lot of the city looks very like identical to one another. There are facilities on the outer edges of it. If you want to make a tech roll to determine what might be the best one of those outer facilities to lob it at. That would be a good thing to do.
Tech roll, everybody, again, looks down at Jonathan.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, I can do, I've got Culture 3, and I've got, military history is a culture specialty, yeah. Damn it. Yeah, I got very little I can contribute directly to this.
All right, well, let's go ahead with the tech roll then to kind of narrow it down.
Hit where there's the most people.
Or where there's the most, like, infrastructure.
Yeah,
we're just actually looking for a better target, basically.
Actually, now that on those lines, maybe not even the destructive yield is where this could cause the most damage, but the biggest EMP disruption.
I'm definitely down to do this.
Since they have so much advanced technology, I'm assuming EMP is probably not going to be a huge deal for them. It might be, but
big old fireball is going to ruin anybody's day.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go ahead and get that tech roll then.
Okay. Blow it up. Moment. That is, again, 5 successes.
On the dot. You scan, you start looking for through communications. Motoko is you're trying to like ping her for a bit, but she's like clearly in some the grips of some pretty intense concentration herself. As like she just sounds like an enemy AI in combat. But you scan through the transmissions, you kind of analyze things, and you identify what you're pretty sure is their spaceport.
So we're yeeting it at the spaceport.
Marking your target now.
Please stand by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So that is the 10th milestone. So you guys have a target now for your nuke. Now it's about to deploy it. Now, like I said,
you can probably roll aim or...
Yeah, this will definitely be an aim roll, or if you want to try and teleport it there so that it doesn't give away your position. That would be 2 options to go with.
Well, I mean, since it doesn't have a warhead, I don't know how much giving away our position, or it has a war. It is just a warhead. It doesn't have a missile. No.
Well, it presumably
we would really kind of just be like, eh.
Yeah, but
I think teleporting it might be the better bet. Admittedly,
I have a thought though, because and I'm curious. Wu can create a portal, right? It might be useful to create a portal and have Laughs run it somewhere where it's even more likely within that area to cause a big boom, and then have him run back to the portal.
I'm not great at portals.
By not great, how not great?
Actually, I just realized I have,
in a flux zone, a way to portals, shoot it if I portals are probably not our best option.
Not going to happen. Okay.
Yeah, you've got the reconfigurable Varg.
Yeah, you like it. I was assuming you would reconfigure some sort of launcher, which, as I said, gives the football a trajectory that could be followed.
Yeah, I mean, I think portals would probably be the best, but given the flux zone, it's better to just rely on the tech we have.
Cool.
So yeah, if you want to just fire it, that will definitely be an aim roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only have 7 dice for the teleport.
I was going to say, my only other option would be to use the velocity telekinesis and just like, and suddenly, gun! but yeah, if that's just an aim roll, that is...
What's your aim pool?
Very high. Okay. I built him to be very good at the combat thing. Sure. 6. What did this one do? Sorry, I gotta double check this edge that I keep forgetting what it actually does again. It's the variable gravity combat training.
You get +1 enhancement.
Okay, so yeah, as long as I get a single success, I would get an enhancement on.
I think you would ignore a complication too, but yeah, we don't have any that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Not at the moment.
That would make it 6 successes.
6 successes. You arc that thing straight to the spaceport, and there is a massive flash of light.
Don't look at the light.
yeah, shields automatically go up as their spaceport gets lit the fuck up. And you start to, the communications start to go absolutely haywire as the EMP washes over the things. It's not as effective as it would be, say, against modern technology. It certainly causes a wave of disruption. That does get sort of, it causes some after effects, but it does not completely wipe out their comms or their tech base. But it does cause a big ass boom, and you guys start to see a great deal of activity start to spring up. Several of those identical buildings start to sort of like crack open as they open up, and like things start to pour out of them. And you know, you see Wu, you're able to detect multiple like warps start to manifest themselves in the probably going over to where that is. And yeah, so the it causes a great deal of distracting activity.
Save point.
Yeah. Okay.
Your game is auto saving.
You're activating that power.
When things start like cracking, save point. It gives us 4 minutes at least. I don't know if that'll matter, but you know, just in case.
Okay. So now we have come to, I believe that is our 11th milestone. Yes. So we've got two left. So now it comes for the clutch pilot role to get to basically get to the ground without running into one of these like flurries of activities and get you guys close to the point where you guys need to get to the football. So basically this is your ground insertion role, which will be a pilot role.
Shouldn't you be really good at this, Laughs?
Laughs is very, very good at this, yes.
Psycho location and piloting.
Yep.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Yep, exactly. So I am going to... Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. So 5 successes and 3 enhancement from various things.
Excellent. You manage the transport. This is the point where the transport does a flyby, like getting like close to one of the central buildings near the Citadel, and disengages. It's basically drops all of the Vargs. So you guys are incoming. You are falling towards the ground. You know, those of you who have thrusters are able to like grab the Vargs of those who don't, so that you can manage the landing. But yeah, now we are going to run into the point where you cannot hide where you are. They do see you, and automatic defenses start to target you in an attempt to blow you out of the sky before you hit your vital point. And so this is definitely going to be another sort of combat role to anyone who would like to take it in order to maneuver, destroy some automated defenses, and punch your way through to the landing zone.
Can I literally punch it?
I mean, if you want
to be the one to do it, do it. I was going to say, the only thing I can do is like throw out a kinetic shield maybe to just their defensive zone hit us, but.
And I will say at this point, we are now in a medium quantum flux zone, as the temperature of your vitakinetic liquid is
gross.
Yeah, it is starting to get gross. Little bubbles are starting to form as it attempts to counteract the flux, the quantum flux in the area. But yeah, so who would like to deal with these active defenses to get you guys onto your point zero?
Let me check how many enhancements I have on this still. 7.
Okay, yeah. You rain down fire, taking out automated defenses, punching a hole literally through like a shielded component, and you guys land not too terribly far from the base of the Citadel. And without a single failure, we have completed this Goliath.
Woo! Cesar!
Yeah. So, yes, you guys are within, you had already sort of plotted out where you should do in general, where you need to put the beacon in order to hit so that its edge hits that secret compartment under the Citadel, and no doubt reveal not only that area, but a great percent of the Citadel. I need everyone now to roll me initiative.
Yes.
So that is, once again, the lower of your dex plus empathy, or your cunning plus athletics. Let me know when you got that. 5? Okay.
Wow. So far, four on the die pool of four.
Mm-hmm. Okay, three.
I'm trying to remember. Is it adding it up or taking the highest number of the die that we?
No, it is highest. It's number of successes.
Okay, two. Sorry.
Okay, so you got a two.
Yeah.
Yeah. For something I have eight dice in, I roll very poorly on initiative and got one.
One. Okay.
I got a total of five.
Total of five. Awesome. Four and total of five. All right. That is that. All right. So you guys have made landfall. You are within, I will say, you guys are within long range of the insertion point, of the place where you know is the ideal spot to plant the beacon. I'm going to give you a couple of special rules for this combat. The first is the beacon itself. Once planted, it will require six rounds to calibrate. So long as one PC is functional, not taken out, and is within short range of that beacon, the beacon is considered protected. No matter what else you guys do. So long as there is someone within the vicinity, I will consider that beacon sacrosanct to anything. The second is that we will have a horde of sub-aberrant mutants coming for your ass. And we are going to be using scene combat rules for dealing with them. What scene combat rules basically says that you roll against essentially a static difficulty. And any successes over that difficulty, each success takes out a minion. If you fail your roll when dealing with them, you just automatically take one damage. And I will say, we're using that basically for dealing with them, so they don't ever roll against you. I will say, however, every round someone has to deal with the minions. If no one deals with the minions in a given round, you all automatically take one damage.
Gotcha.
So those are the special rules for this one. So you have, like I said, you are in long range. As soon as you kind of like make groundfall and start to scan, one of these large, like stadium size cube buildings, cracks open. And a horde of what you are intellectually know were once people, and from what you know about the system, probably farmed from birth to the point where they could endure conversion into a sub-aberrant mutant, start to pile out. They are just, each one of them is a monstrosity of flesh and cancer. That, you know, defies description. Each one of them no one looks identical to the other, but they are pouring out of this building, coming for you all. I have a player turn.
I would like to go so that I can use my tactician power to give everyone a floating pool of enhancements.
Okay.
Works for me.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead and do that.
So I need to make a close combat plus resolve roll. Mm-hmm. So that'll be seven dice. And I get no enhancement on that based on its own. Could I apply a military history specialty to this?
Sure. Yeah, you could envision a Zerg rush from ages past.
Or Vargs, yeah. Or morale, if any of those are more appropriate.
I would say, what are your skill rating? Like what would one give you a better bonus?
No, all of those are all at three skill.
Okay, so yeah, any of those would apply.
Okay, so close combat plus resolve is 7d10. Let me roll that first. Come on, Google, don't suck. Oh, here we go. That's two successes, one of which is a 10. And that's a six. So that's two plus however much my specialty gives me.
That'll be one enhancement.
So three successes are now in a pool that people can pull from that will translate into enhancement for It doesn't specify how long it lasts.
We'll just say the combat.
Okay. So that is what I spend my turn doing. Like, my display lights up with, like, tactical information tracking, and I start, like, firing off little, like, bits of information, like, you go here, you do this, whatever, and to, like, optimally distribute ourselves for the coming horde.
That. Okay, so we have a second player turn. I will let Wu Cesar know that you are beginning to, through your senses, feel the formation of a warp point somewhere close by.
Okay. Can I take a mixed action?
If you feel so inclined.
I would like to use spatial integrity and true awareness from Empty World to both block them and increase my own perception of the universe so that I can better kill them.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and make that roll. Let me double check the ruling of that. Is there like a roll off with that?
I think it just increases. Gives them a complication, and if they do not bite off, it knocks them off course.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, let me know what that complication is. And yeah, split up your successes appropriately.
Now, if I'm using my, if I'm doing this with my best pool, which is translocation, do I get favored mode?
Yeah. If you're using it with that, then yeah.
Only three. Sorry, okay. Two because of the difficulty.
Ah.
No, sorry, one because of the difficulty.
Okay, so where do you put that success? Do you put it towards your empty world or do you put it to a
complication? Empty world doesn't have a roll.
Oh, it doesn't have a roll. Okay, fantastic.
It just takes an action. So okay. I did all I could.
Okay, so you have a complication.
You have three floating advancement you can take if you want.
Not going to be enough to stop them from teleporting with that, I don't think.
I mean, just you using that power means I have to roll.
You know what, actually? Can I spend two momentum?
Yeah, you can spend two momentum if the group agrees.
Yep. Go for broke.
I would request that we keep at least one momentum floating around.
Well, we have five, right? We have
six.
Six
because of your ability.
Cool. All right, two more successes.
Okay. So that's going to give me a 3-point complication to open up this warp point, which... Yeah, I'll just do that. Okay. Let's see. In order to form this warp point, I would have not buy off that complication. So they're going to not buy off that complication. And so a warp point does form, but it is not as close as they wanted it to be.
Get out of my plane of existence.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, but yeah, you feel that warp point, and you feel that it is within long range, but the wrong direction for it to be useful to them in terms of blocking you to get to the point. Okay, so that is that initiative turn, and I have another player turn.
One of us needs to deal with the horde.
Yeah, they are incoming.
I can take it if no one else wants to.
Well, I'm already gone.
I have a plan for what I was going to do, but...
go ahead. I know what my plan
originally. I mean, my original plan was not going to be for combat, so this round, so I will defer to you if we need, whoever needs okay. to deal with them.
So, as I was saying earlier, I would like to attempt to use Hellscape to apply Sheath to all my allies, because extra armor is the goody good. And when rolling psi, it's psi rating plus mode plus favored mode,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay, yes.
So lots of dice to roll.
But because of the quantum flux zone we are in.
Yeah, it is at a difficulty two.
Plus two.
Yeah, plus two, sorry. That is 8 successes.
Okay, so that is 4 successes left over, which you can apply to whichever targets you wish.
So I would like to apply them. I want to create a maze that these guys have to run to get to us. I want to use the secondary part of Sheath.
Okay.
Which allows me to create walls of flame or ice that they physically have to either funnel through, or if they can melt it, they can. But basically, I want to delay the minions as long as possible.
Okay.
With the other 4 successes.
Okay. So yeah, they run straight forward into this wall. And you see like the first one just kind of like comes barreling through and just runs through. Are you using fire or ice?
I would say I will be using ice.
Okay. So like the first one that comes barreling as you raise this maze of ice just gets like impaled straight through on a spike of ice. And the other ones like get disconcerted and have to start maneuvering around it. So yeah, you have set up that thing as a way of dealing with the minions.
As far as the armor that I applied to my allies, mm-hmm. I would actually like to say that I applied fire sheath to them. Mm-hmm. So y'all are surrounded by fire, but it's not hot and it doesn't burn. Because that gives us one hard or one extra hard and 3 soft armor, which I feel like will be very useful.
Indeed. So please make note of that. Okay, so yeah, the minions have been delayed, and my actual aberrants are on their way. So that means I have another PC. Yeah. So that means I have another PC turn.
So Laughs would like to run with the beacon to where we want it to play, placed, right?
Yeah. If you want to just get there, that'll definitely be an athletics roll to make your way to it.
What's my difficulty, Scott?
In this, I suppose that this is where the colony's paradoxical desire for order is going to do him a disservice. This is his controlled metropolis. It's just like going down a city street. There's just a regular difficulty for it.
Fantastic. Then it is a 0 difficulty. Because of several of the edges that I have mm-hmm. To do this sort of thing. So I'm rolling just to roll,
yeah.
But I would like to do so to see if we can,
yeah,
get any benefits from doing so. One success. So
all I'm you glad. Needed, I mean, you yep. still could have botched.
Yes.
But yeah, all you needed, you get to the beacon to the point. It's maybe about a quarter mile from the base of the spire. You had it like holographically targeted on your console, on your heads up display. And you spike that football, like vines start to like crack open and start to plant itself into the ground. And you all get a ping on your heads up displays of beacon implanting beginning calibration. So next round will be the first of 6 rounds that it needs to calibrate. And I have another PC turn.
I believe I'm the only one left.
I think you were right.
I would like to spend a point of inspiration. And okay. I would like to activate Chessmaster.
Okay.
For my allies.
All right. So, is there a role associated with that, or do you just do it?
There is not. I just do it. The chess master and a number of allies equal to their command gain access to a new defense stunt outwit for the rest of the scene. You have 2 added to your defense.
Okay, so if I recall correctly, they need to spend a success to gain +2 to their defense, right?
Yeah, it's equal to a certain facet of his. I don't remember which one.
It's equal to half of my reflective facet rounded up. Okay. And it is, you spend one success, you get that.
Okay, so yeah.
So it's a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
So basically, your first success counts for 2.
Yeah.
When rolling defense.
It's useful.
Okay. All right, so that is that. I still do not have any other aberrants but minions on the board. And we are in the first round of calibration. So, top of the round, I have a PC turn. Who would like to go?
I would like to claim it because mine's pretty easy. I'm just running to catch up with Laughs because we are working as a team to make sure the beacon is safe. Okay. That and I can attack from pretty damn long range.
Yeah. Now, I will say, although one of you has to, multiple people can try and winnow down this horde. I have a set number of checkboxes.
Will I still have to make the athletics roll to make it to him?
Yeah, to get to there, you would need to make an athletics roll, but you could split action that with an attack roll.
Okay. If I went as far as normal movement would allow, would I still be able to turn and attack in that case? Yeah. Maybe not making it all the way to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you would still be within short range of the beacon, which fulfills the requirement of protecting it.
Okay.
But you would not be on top of the beacon.
So both of my Varg weapons are short range. So
they are everywhere. Like they're
trapped up in the maze.
Yeah, they're trapped up in the maze, but they're still everywhere. Like they're like they're going to start coming from all directions.
Okay. I would like to go ahead and I'll have to use a power because I have a flamethrower equipped and that will melt my walls. brain. So yeah, I will go ahead and just use flash because it is simple and easy.
Okay. You also have guns.
Well, I have a pile bunker and a flamethrower, both of which are short range right now.
But you also have the reconfigurable
weapon. But that takes an action. I'd rather use that action to attack with the power, especially because I have a ridiculous side pool.
Do what you want, man. Just know that it is at a +2 difficulty.
Yes. Now, for using a power that is not your max mode dots, don't you get...
Yes, you get a enhancement equal to the difference between the power that it is and the total modes that you
can okay. Dot it's an have. Enhancement. Got it. I couldn't remember what it is because space magic. So that would be 7 total successes on a flash, which is just me freezing people.
Okay. That you send another blast is going to be heat or ice this time.
Freezing people.
Freezing
people,
yeah. You,
I don't want fire near the walls of ice.
you blast through, you blast another one of these enemies coming in. That interference with the Psy is really starting to, like, it's oppressive. Mm-hmm. And you're able to manage one clean shot. I need, let's see here. Let's go with Logan. Yeah, Logan, let's say you're going to have to make a defense roll as a blast of quantum energy comes from seemingly nowhere.
Okay, now defense.
Defense is one of your resilience attributes.
Okay.
Resolve, stamina, or composure.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the option, however many successes you roll, you can spend one of those on the special defensive stunt that that Raphael gave us.
So I got 3. I'm going to go ahead and spend 1, so I have 4 successes on my defense roll.
4 successes total on your defense, +1, so you have a defense of 5. Okay, well, let me do some math here. Five enhancement. What is your soft armor?
So with sheath, which adds a
plus
three.
Never mind, this has the armor piercing quality. Soft armor is ignored. So, yeah. And what is your durability scale?
Two. Dark scale.
Okay, so,
yeah.
Okay, so it's a plus one scale to you, plus it's, okay, so it is going to, because soft armor is ignored. It is going to do a point of damage to you. And yeah, it's going to add, it's going to end up doing two total points of damage to you. As this scintillating, crackling beam of quantum energy just races through from an unexpected angle and just impacts, cutting right through your psionic armor, blasting at you.
Do we get a shot from the side and everything turns monochrome and we just see an outline of him impaled by a beam?
Ooh, what you say? Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty pretty sudden. Okay, but now I get a PC turn.
Do we see what did that?
Yeah. Hold on.
Now that they've broken whatever stealth they have,
I need to read the reading.
I mean, they might be invisible still.
That's true, but if they were just out of sight, we would at least know a trajectory.
Yeah, you definitely have a trajectory. It's, you know, from
everyone
from,
over the comms hears a loud "fuck that hurt."
Yeah. It's definitely from the trajectory of where that portal was. Yeah, if someone wants to make probably an aim roll to detect that trajectory as part of their action. But yeah, but fittingly, I have a PC actor. So yeah, if anyone wants to make that kind of roll or another type of roll that they can pitch to try and detect the motherfucker.
Actually, yeah, I would like to, because I in fact have lightning calculator.
Okay. Yeah, that'll apply.
Alrighty. One moment. So lightning calculator gives me two enhancement. And that is, one moment. Fives are just my number today, guys.
Oh, geez.
So it's five and then plus two enhancement.
Okay. Let me make a roll here real quick. You scan the horizon, you like rely on your scanners, you detect a shimmer on crawling like up the edge of one of the buildings, within long range now. So yeah, you sort of like paint that holographically where you find it, but you're not able to like pierce and see what it is, but you detect the stereotypical cinematic something is invisible here, shimmer in the air.
Target markers set there. Just obliterate those fucking grid coordinates.
Whenever you're ready, I will make sure you don't see it anymore.
Okay. I have another player action.
I'll go and I'll just work on the horde.
Okay.
Like, I'll plant my Varg has not moved from the initial drop point, and I will just like plant like legs and bring the coil gun down, and anything that gets through the maze is just going to get vaporized.
Cool.
That will be aim.
Yeah.
And dex, so that is 6, 9 with the plus 5 enhancement from the gun. So 9d10. One, two, three, four, five. Two of those are tens. Two of those both succeed. One of those is a 10, so that's seven with one more reroll. That's another 10. Eight, reroll, and a three. So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 total successes.
Okay. You obliterate nine of them. Just under heavy coil gun fire, as they start to break through the mazes, you just launch like rail after rail after rail of hyper-accelerated slugs, blowing them apart.
There's very little that a kilogram of solid tungsten cannot take care of when fired at relativistic speeds.
That's very true. Okay, I have another PC turn.
So I'm going to have Laughs supplement Jude's attack with a lightning cannon barrage, a spread of lightning cannon fire.
Okay. Make that roll.
Okay.
Now you're at the beacon.
I am.
So you were at long range to these guys.
That's true, but it goes up to long range.
Nice. Okay. Yep.
Five, six, and two tens. Eight successes plus four enhancement, I believe. Plus three enhancement.
Plus three enhancement? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you light them up, annihilating seven of them. It's a hot time. Okay. And let me check my initiative here. Coming around the corner, from the direction of where the portal is, a bulky mass of appears to be some unholy amalgamation of like plastic and metal and flesh, lumber rolls itself, into view, it comes in. It is at long range from you guys. Hold on. So many different thingies up here. And let's see if it can make an attack at you guys. Yeah, it actually can. It is going to open up this like cavity in its chest. And a bunch of shards of like plastic and metal start firing out of it towards Jude. Please roll your defense, please.
Okay. I'm going to roll composure, which is 3d10. That is a failure, but not a botch.
Okay, so yeah, you still have one defense then.
Two.
He's two. A superior.
Oh, that's right. You're a superior. Fantastic. Unless you want to spend some momentum to try and take advantage of that the outwit stunt. Up to you.
No, I won't.
You won't? Okay, cool. Okay, so you have a defense of two. And let me roll for this beefy boy. And what is your durability scale?
Two, Varg scale.
Two Varg scale? Okay. Okay. So four. What's your soft armor?
My Varg's soft armor is plus three from the sheath and two, so five total.
Five total? Okay. So it is able to score a hit on you. It does one damage to you. And as these shards of plastic and metal pepper around the area, well, each one of them just sort of like when it hits just like a piece of road or a piece of debris, it just sort of it expands the size of what it hits. So that means that the area in short range around Jude is now difficult terrain.
Gotcha. My sheath also gave me one hard armor, so that is what is ablated away. I'm no longer, like, that just isn't there anymore.
You're not hard anymore.
Right.
You've lost your hardness.
But I still maintain the soft enhancement, correct?
Yes, the soft, maintain the soft armor, yeah.
Okay. So I, like, just dramatically, I try to, like, get out of the way of the attack with my boosters, but it's just, it tracks me too easy, and I get peppered.
Indeed. I have a player turn.
I think I'm the only one left.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so how far am I from the shimmer?
You are long range from the shimmer.
Well, that's... Long range, that might be too close.
Long range too close.
No, friends, it's... you say.
Oh, sorry. No, it's not just extreme. It's medium to extreme. Okay. All right. Shimmy, shimmy, ah, shimmy, ah, shim away. And gonna rack out the anti-material cannon. Pop off a nice aimed shot. Six successes.
Okay. What is the power scale of this attack?
May I spend a momentum?
Go ahead.
Four.
Four? Excellent. So that makes you one above. So that will... okay, so six successes, you said.
Yes.
Okay, so that plus two for the scale. And let's see. Ah, I see. Okay.
It's also brutal, deadly, and piercing.
Okay. Oh, did you take the brutal, the heavy into account with the scale?
Yes. Oh, I have extreme okay, force. Right, but okay, yeah, okay, I did count
okay.
that.
Okay, good. Okay. Hold on. So, what happens is you utterly destroy that area. You know, that shimmer, whatever it was, not there anymore. It just needed, when the smoke clears, there's a giant hole in the building. And you lose track of the targeting reticle that was painted on it.
That's probably fine. So yeah, pull the rifle off of the back, aim a quick shot, doing it one-handed because it's a mech.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Raphael, and problem solved.
It's an anti-material rifle for a reason.
Everything is a material.
Okay. I am going to make a mixed attack here because they need to get in. Well, hold on. Let me look at their stats real quick. Okay. Yeah. Coming out at a slightly different angle from where the big meaty thing is, a little floating basketball-sized thing just kind of hovers its way into view, and then it unfolds itself into a uncountable billions upon billions of like spider leg filaments that begin to just occupy space. It wraps around buildings. It moves out into the square that you guys are going on. It becomes very difficult to see an area of this field of battle that does not contain some little filament of this sort of spidery leg-like thing. And it is going to make a attack using one of these filaments coming right at Usizar.
Okay.
So please roll your defense.
On it. No successes.
Okay.
So defense is one with the soft armor of 7 and a +3 complication.
Okay. So it does not, it does. Okay, so. Soft armor, blah, blah, blah. So one of these tendrils comes out and touches you. Just sort of strokes itself against your armor. And I am going to need a roll from you to resist something.
Oh, all right. And did it buy off the complication?
Yes, it did.
Okay. That sucks for me, but
I'm trying to see what the resistance roll this is. There doesn't appear to be a resistance roll for this. I am going to spend a corruption to do it, though. Your dexterity, your might, your athletics, and your aim all go down by one.
What does this feel like?
This feels just like corruptive energy just coursing through and just like affecting your body physically in a very sort of direct and violative way. Use mode analog ruin.
So that's athletics, dexterity, aim, and might?
Yes.
Okay.
And God, I'm surprised there's no resistance for that. That's fucking horrible. Okay, so that's that aberrant's go. And I have another aberrant turn. Let's see, what does she want to do? Okay, that's what she does. Oh, that's right. Never mind. Let's see here. Yeah, that aberrant is not able to get in range to do the thing that it wants to do. So we are at the top of the round. I have a... okay, yeah, I got that. All right, so PC turn at the top of the round.
So
can I speak before anyone asks?
Sure.
Don't let it touch you. I'll try and keep it busy. Please stop it.
If possible, group, Laughs would like to use a creative mode version of clairsentience. Scott, my pitch here is looking at the entire scene that we have in front of us and trying to understand the most effective places for us as a team to be defensive and protect the beacon. So I'm trying to create soft and or hard armor, depending on the materials around us, for us to block attacks and things like that with.
Okay. What mode are you attempting to use this off of?
I am using psychocognition. Mm-hmm. And I'm going all the way up to the 4-dot favorable outcome favorable outcome usually being about, you know, some rerolls and things like that. And I feel like it's a good way of saying understanding what the battlefield looks like for us to be in the best position to not get smacked. Okay.
So, you have that mode dot, right?
I do, yes.
Okay. So, this will be at a +1 difficulty, to attempt to use this mode creatively in addition to the +2 difficulty, for, the quantum flux zone. And successes over difficulty will be cover that you can, hand out.
Okay. So that is a base 3 difficulty from what I heard from you. Okay.
Yes.
Just double checking I'm hearing right. If the group is okay with it, I would like to use some momentum here. Could I use 2 momentum on this? Actually, can I use 3 momentum on this?
I know that Nigel wanted 1. I don't know if he still needs it.
I would like to just have that in reserve, but sure. I don't think that's going to be enough to spend it.
We've got 6 at the moment, so.
No, we don't.
Oh, we don't.
We have 3.
Okay. Ah, then I would like to use 2 momentum. Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Oh yeah. And you do still have an enhancement pool from Jude's ability.
You yes. do. It's 3. And you can pull that from that whenever.
Cool. So I got 3 successes. I would like to use 2 of that enhancement so that we can actually get some benefit from this.
Okay. All right. So you have 2 points of cover you can hand out. At this point, I would like to remind you all of your reveries that you guys still have access to.
Yes.
If you want to enhance your roles in that manner. Okay. So that's a PC turn. I have an aberrant turn. Let's see what she can do. He's good. Let's see here. Okay. I need. Let's see. I need Logan. I need you to make. Let's see. What kind of role do I want this to be? I need you to make, let's call it an integrity roll.
An integrity roll?
Yeah.
Okay. A skill that I haven't used. I actually have a lot of integrity. Wow, I kind of forgot. Anything particular you would want it to be paired with to resist, I'm assuming, this effect? Or
I would say probably like either... cunning would probably be the most appropriate for this.
Okay.
But if you wanted to go like resolve would also might work better, work as well.
Cunning's the better role for me. Okay. Come on, type the right thing here. That is 4 successes. The dice are being kind to me today.
4 successes. That's quite good. Okay. So, you, as you're sort of maneuvering around, as you're getting this information from Laughs about like optimal position, you start to move into a place that seems to be advantageous. When you see like the shadow of the building that you're going to be moving into looks wrong. And you are able to avoid stepping in it as it rears up and is going to make an attempt to envelop you.
Oh boy.
So I need you to roll your defense, please.
Oh boy.
Logan died on his way back to his home planet.
I mean, that ironically would fulfill his long-term aspiration. Death is not going back to prison. That is three.
Three successes. Okay, so that's a total of
four. Go ahead and spend one to make it four.
Do not get Kachi Art.
Okay. One to make it four. Okay. This shadow is able to leap up and grab onto your Varg. You are grappled. However, nothing happens to you at the moment.
I'm getting a nice tight hug.
Yeah, you're getting a nice tight shadow hug. Now I have a PC turn.
What? We have Spider Ball, Plastic Belly Man, and Shadow Mouth left.
In your visual field, you have those three, yes.
Okay. Does anyone have a plan? If not, I will
get this thing off of my face.
I can do that. I'm going to try and go punch it off of Jude's face.
Okay.
You mean Logan?
Yeah, it's not on my face. It's on Logan. Logan's.
Oh, I'm going to fail.
Oh, no.
All right, so I am not penalized in close combat, but I am penalized in dexterity, which I'm assuming this is going to be based on.
Yeah, if you're it is a close combat roll, and you can pitch me whatever attribute you want to use.
Well, usually he's a very defensive fighter, you know, sticking and moving with stamina, but this is not that time. This is he's trying to punch it off of his friend without destroying said person. So unfortunately, I don't think that works.
Okay.
So his pool is not as good. But the dice are. Three successes before enhancement, of which I have four, so seven.
Seven is enough. You grab this thing and pull it off of Logan. And you have it in your hands. It's this like, it is a shapeless shadow thing that is nonetheless you have found purchase on.
Well, I was just trying to stab it with my pile bunker and knock it off.
Oh, okay.
I don't have hands.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Okay, so you're actually, we're attacking it.
Yes.
Okay. Noted. In which case, what damage type does your pile bunker do? Straight ballistic, basically?
Probably blunt damage. I know mine does.
It's impact.
Impact, okay. What total successes did you get?
Seven. I also have destructive.
Okay, destructive. That's good to note. Okay. Seven successes. That's a difficulty. Yeah, you stab into it, but you're not able to. Yeah, revising my narration. You stab into it, but it doesn't seem like it does much to it. Okay. So that's a PC turn. I have another PC turn. Who wants to take it? We have yet to deal with the Horde this round, I will note.
Yeah, I'll just keep doing that since y'all are better suited to more specific things. I'll like take kind of a step back and look over, but I'll see that Wu is helping Logan, so I'm like, okay, well, I'll just continue to light up the Horde.
All right, do it.
That is 96 again. 1, 2, 3 successes, one of which is a 10. So that's 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 successes for my coil gun.
Okay. Total with enhancement?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, you blast through four more of them. At this point, the mazes they've been able to like claw down and claw through the ice, and they are like just pouring full force. So they have been dealt with for this round, though. I have another PC turn.
I guess I can go. So we have spooky shadow thing, and then we have the spidery filament nonsense, correct?
Yes, and big bulky boy.
And big bulky boy.
So we've got Skin of Evil, Big Papa, and Space Jam.
I'm down with it.
I hate you so much.
Which one made you hate me?
Space Jam. Am I able to target filament fucker without risking hitting Wu?
So here's the good thing about filament fucker. He's everywhere.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I believe we've dubbed him Space Jam.
A good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he is in fact everywhere.
Okay.
So if you want to just take an attack at him at one of his many extensions.
I would like to have a little bit of fun with my smart missile launcher.
Okay, yeah. Blow him
this
up.
This sounds like the time.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Also, so I apologize for not nicknaming him Carl Sagan for his billions and billions.
Billions and billions.
Why? Okay. Oh, my God.
Them references, they're coming out.
Yes, they are.
All right. Yeah, go ahead and give me a attack roll, please.
All righty. Come on. Sorry, dice rolling is taking forever. That is 4 successes on the dice, and I know we have a whole bunch of other things floating around. I'm not sure what they all are.
What is the weapons enhancement?
The weapons enhancement is 5.
5, okay. So that's
and it has incendiary and massive explosive.
That's good to know. That is actually very good to know. What is the does it have the heavy tag?
It should. Missile launchers usually do.
I don't actually think it does.
You said it's a smart missile launcher?
Yes. Super sorry, guys.
No problem.
You're good.
No, it doesn't.
It is straight out of the book, so. It does not.
Okay.
Yeah, it is straight out of the book.
Okay, so you have 9. So what that means is that you are able to hit it and crit it. So you blast through and cause you burn away with your missiles. It is good that it has like an explosive quality because it being everywhere, it has the colony ability and is very difficult to hit from like precise strikes. So a area of effect is very good. But yeah, you chunk through 2 of its health levels, doing a good deal of damage to it. Okay. So now I have another aberrant turn. Raphael, please roll your defense.
And the defense roll one more time for
it
me.
It is one of your resilience attributes. So composure... okay. Resolve or stamina.
Got it. Oh boy. So that is, really wish I had thought to ask for a reverie before I had rolled those dice.
Yeah, I can remember those.
Yeah. Oh well. I have one success.
Okay, so you can use that on your outwit.
Yes.
So
that I'm using that on my outwit. And then I have armor expert, and I have the other myriad bonuses that we have floating around right now.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. What does armor expert give you?
Armor expert.
One extra.
One extra? Yes. Okay. So that is 3, 4. If you want, I believe there's one floating enhancement, if you want to take that, to put that up to 5.
Is everybody okay with that?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to make my roll. So you have a 5 defense and your durability scale is 2. Okay. It is going to do some bad things to you.
It's the bad touch.
Yeah. Sorry. What is your soft armor?
My soft armor as a base 7. Is...
Huh? Yeah, I was going to say...
I believe it's 7.
7.
Yeah, it's 7 right now.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so... 7. Okay. All right, that is good. It does definitely is going to do 1 damage to you, and it is also going to it's going to do a total of 2 damage to you, but it is also going to apply the stun condition to you, as yet again, from seemingly nowhere, a scintillating blast of quantum energy, very familiar to the one that hit McCall, rocks into you. And you have a 2-point stun complication on you. That basically you have to buy that off or your action fails. So the next time you want to act, you have to spend, in order to do anything, you have to buy off the stun complication with whatever dice roll you do. If you're unable to do that, then your action just gets eaten. Okay. And that stays until you overcome that action.
Got it.
I have a PC turn. Who would like to go?
That would be me, and I'm going to go ahead and call on my Society Path Reverie because I need some extra help with this one.
Okay, and what is the action that you are taking for this Reverie to enhance?
So my goal is to use my pile bunker to... blast this aberrant that has latched onto my face off of my face.
Okay, so as you are readying you've got your hand on the switch to engage the pile bunker, you're rearing it back with all of your might. Time slows down. We hear the lost whoosh, and please set up the scene for us.
So the scene we would find ourselves in, you would see a top down of a much younger Logan, easily in his early teens, maybe not even that. He is bloody and bruised, scraped and cut up. It looks like he just had one hell of a fight, but lost, as his best friend and fellow street gang member, street crime kid, Jack, comes up to collect collect Logan from the ground.
Jack will kind of like, are you like prone or are you like sitting down?
No, he is like flat on his back.
Okay.
Like he had just... like he got knocked down and then a group of people came over and were kicking him on
the right ground. So Jack will kind of squat down next to him and will just kind of like nudge your face with a gentle like back of the fingers slap. You okay down there, Logan?
Motherfuckers. Oh, this is why I don't do turf wars, man.
Yeah, but turf wars do you know? Like, you got to scrap. It's just part of the deal.
Yeah, but I he is like barely holding himself together. There's blood out of several scrapes on his face and bruising, and it's not pretty.
Jack will like lean over and kind of like fireman carry you, just kind of hulking him up. He's a little bigger than you, I'm envisioning. Yeah. Like, you know, not like, like maybe like a half a head taller, and just actually has some muscle, maybe some scars like on his knuckles. And he's kind of hoists you up. So like, so what did you do wrong?
I underestimated the fucking short kid.
You did. So how he climbed up on you, and how he like got all up in your space. You gotta make room. You gotta push him away. You gotta fucking get something, a hand, a knee, anything between you and him. Make some distance. Then open up.
Every time I fucking tried, it's like I backed into another one of his goddamn buddies.
That's why you need me. You do not need to go off on your own again.
I wasn't even trying to get into this shit, dude. I was just trying to go find somewhere to fucking sleep.
Yeah, and that's when they get you, when you're least expecting it. Come on, we'll get you patched up. You ain't dead.
I fucking feel like I am.
We'll limp off into the waterlogged streets of Seattle, looking for some sort of walk-in clinic to get him actually fixed up.
Yeah, and as you guys walk off into the streets, we whoosh back into the time, and you engage your pile bunker. Go ahead and make your roll.
Is so I do have the forceful martial arts tag, okay. Or not tag the gift, and I would like to attempt to. Does that automatically apply those levels, or do you have to actually invoke it?
It automatically applies them, I believe.
Okay, so I have two dots of it, so I would like to attempt to use the Deadly Strike. It's going to add a +1 complication, but if successful, I would get the Brutal tag on my head.
Okay.
Does the pile driver not already have
Brutal? I think it does.
No, because I build mine.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Mine has heavy and destructive. It does not have brutal.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Okay. That is 4 + 5, 9 successes. It would have the brutal tag, and because of power blow, I would also have the number of successes, or I would also have the weighted tag.
Okay. Noted. Okay, so total, what's the total power scale of this?
Total power scale, the heavy adds 1 to it, right? It does,
yes.
So that would make it a scale 3, I believe?
Okay, good. Okay, so, and your total successes with enhancement?
Total insects, with enhancement is 9.
9? Okay. Yeah, you manage to, it is like, as you are like, pile driving it, like you feel it connect, and like you feel it's familiar in the effect that it has. Like you're pretty sure that this thing has some sort of shielding around it. But you punch through that, make contact, and throw the thing off, and it sort of latches itself onto the side of the building and begins to like slink out of view.
Did I like just meet, or did I?
No, you felt yourself pushed through that shielding and like
okay.
make contact. It's hard to tell how damaged it is from as a result of it, but it did get thrown off of you.
Okay, so I can see again. I will go ahead and spend whatever movement I can spend to retreat further back with Lash. Okay. Our goal is protect the beacon.
Okay, so you're moving back towards Lash. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate, because Lash, I need you to roll defense for me, please.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay, yeah. One success.
One success. Okay, so you got two defense. All right. Hold on one second. Big burly plastic man is launching another shrapnel blast your way. Let me make a roll here. Two defense. You gotta be freaking kidding me. What's your durability scale?
I apologize. I don't know.
It's two.
It's two. Yeah,
we're all two.
Base would
yep.
be two.
Yep.
Okay. Noted. So that's not entirely pathetic on my part. Let's see here. So it's got five enhancement. What is your soft armor?
Four base, and I believe it is currently enhanced by someone's else's
yes,
thing.
Yes, it should still be at a plus three for right. That.
So that's seven. If I have some of the points, the 2 points that I had created for all of us, I'll use them for laughs to get that to end.
You don't need to. Okay. It does not hit. It does not breach your soft armor.
Right.
However, you are going to have a level three complication of pin down.
Okay.
So pin down your next action. You'll need to buy that off or automatically take a point of damage.
Got it. Describe how I'm pinned down, if you could.
So yeah, it is just like opening up this cavity on its big burly plastic self and just sending out shards of plastic and metal to kind of just pepper the area that you're in.
Got it. So it's kind of I'm kind of covered in various plastic bits. Okay.
Well, no, it's more along the lines of like. You're under the cover that you're dealing with, but if you try to move out of it to do something, you'll catch one of them.
Got it. I'd just like to point out that Laughs probably has ways to deal with that complication really easily.
I mean, that's good, but you still have the complication.
That's fair.
If you can overcome it, then you can overcome it however you'd like.
Cool.
But that will happen on your next action.
Cool.
Speaking of which, I have a final aberrant action. Which is going to be the spider who was done gone blown up is going to, let's see. I think that's going to attack Jude this time. So your defense, please.
It'll be another composure roll.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, two successes, one of which is a 10. So two successes. So I will be using one to purchase the defense buff for this action. So my defense is four, yes, plus the one extra that I rolled.
So your base, I think it's five, because your base two, and then you spend one success to get two more, and then you spend another success to get one more. So your defense is five.
Yes.
Okay. So okay. So that's five successes. What is your soft armor?
It should be in the Kingfisher, five.
Five, plus...
Plus three.
No, it's two plus three, so total of five.
Total of five.
Do you have armor expert?
Yes. Wait, let me check.
Doesn't that add an extra...
It does.
I do have armor expert.
So six.
Six.
Okay. Six. Okay. Six soft armor. Okay. All right. I'm going to spend another corruption because it once again, like, this isn't coming for you in terms of like to do damage. It's just trying to touch you. It's trying to do that creepy thing with the one finger down the side of your cheek. Where, you know, it just gets creepier and creepier. But it does successfully touch you, which is bad.
Bad touch.
Your dex, your stamina, and close combat all go down by So that is the end of our second of six rounds. We're going to go ahead and take our break right now. See you guys in a bit. Welcome back to Simulacra Studios presents Trinity Continuum Aeon Varg Force Salvation, the finale. So, yes, we are at top of the round of round three out of six of calibrations, and I have a PC turn.
I would like to go ahead and lay claim to that. Having watched this spider mess up my friends, I want to mess up the spider creepy eldritch horror thing. And it's going to be pretty basic. I want to shoot it with my flamethrower.
Okay. I would like to point, as we are reaching the desperate hour, to remind everyone that we do have the Leaf on the Wind mechanic in full effect, such as if you just wish to declare that your character will die at the end of the action, you can make whatever you want happen without having to resort to dice rolls. So that is something that was on the table for everyone. But yeah, so, let's go ahead. You want to make that attack roll?
Yep. We don't have any additional difficulty for just shooting a gun, right?
No, nope. Shooting a gun's pretty good.
Okay. So three, nine, successes, and it does have the heavy weapon tag.
Okay. Nine successes against this thing. Very good.
It has heavy weapon, incendiary, and area of effect. So
that is all very good for dealing with this monster. Okay. Nine successes plus four. So nine total with enhancement?
Nine total with enhancement.
Okay. So you are able to hit it and crit it pretty bad. Yeah, you burn away through it.
Like an orc with a heavy flamer, just...
yeah, you burn the shit out of that motherfucker. It's still, you know, there's about maybe about 75% of its mass is still here, mm-hmm. But it is very badly injured with that. Okay, I'm going to have another aberrant attack, in which case I believe I will have... Go through my options here. Yeah, I will have an aberrant who hasn't shown up yet appear. Sort of coming out of a shimmer high above you. You see this feminine figure. You have to do a double take because it almost looks familiar. Until you realize that whoever this is has shaped her body in such a way to be a parody of the Scarlet. You know, a slightly different shade of red, longer, droopier feathers. Clearly there's some sort of drama in beef that hopefully, you know, maybe one day we'll be able to get into. But she sends out this pulse of energy from herself. That seems to wash over all of her companions. Some of the horde gets bathed in this energy, and you see them, those that have been damaged, start to reconstitute themselves a little bit as she blasts out a quantum wave that seems to restore her allies. And I have another PC turn.
If you're trying to talk,
that was not fair of her. Unless somebody wants to go, I'm going to shoot her out of the sky.
Do it.
You go right ahead.
Do it.
All right. So now that it took a turn for me to reload the rifle, mm-hmm. I'm going to sort of take a step back from McCall and aim up at the mauve. That's what I'm sorry, the maroon, the mauve, whatever you want to call her, the not scarlet. Mm-hmm. And fire off the cannon, but I'm also going to use my ultimate attack. The 1,000 cuts.
Okay.
I have to spend a psi and roll a psi plus translocation.
I have an alternate image for you there. Instead of taking a step back, I'm picturing you've seen Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes.
Remember when Furiosa uses Max as a bipod to shoot it? I imagine that's what Wu does, and he's just like, hold still for a second.
So first comes the psi roll. Which does nothing. So I was not able to teleport my shell through her multiple times. Oh. I just hit her, hopefully, with 8 successes.
8 successes, gotcha. And what's the power scale of that weapon?
Depends if I can spend a momentum or not.
Go ahead.
4.
4? Okay. Okay, so that is plus 4, plus 2, so 10 successes. Minus her defense is 5. You land a blow on her that seems to knock her to the side a bit. It's at this point that we are going to pan up from this combat. Our camera moves faster and faster and faster up the citadel's walls, up the ever dwindling thickness of the spire until we reach the cancer mass body of the colony, who, having been distracted by a thermonuclear explosion around in his domain, has finally been able to discern that there is something happening at the base of the spire. And one of its sphincter orifice openings starts to widen as a mass of tumorous flesh starts to push itself out, and eventually breaks free of the flesh tension holding it back, and begins first under the effect of gravity itself, then as quantum energy starts to boil around it in acceleration, builds and builds and builds, until such time as a being the size of a small city lands. You know, accuracy really doesn't matter when you're that big, but close enough to send every being in the area knocked back a range band. Unfortunately, our spider friend, being covering so much mass, utterly gets squashed. The other aberrants are able to get out of the way, but that one is just gone. The horde is also mostly squashed, but the ones that aren't are liquefied by the emanations of quantum energy just roiling off of this thing. You are now confronted with a scale 6 sized aberrant monster. Your Vargs are all stunned for one round, but inside you are not. As it seems to be taking a turn to reorient itself and get ready to do whatever horrible shit that it's about to do. We have a PC turn.
So I started the turn, right?
Started the turn.
Okay. Yeah. And just for reference, size Godzilla is about a size 4.
Yeah, no, this is the size of a small city.
Oh God!
Yeah, there's just this like towering mass at the base of this thing. It is who knows why how it didn't like ended up just annihilating you. Its aim was off for some reason. Otho Herzog using a power. But yeah, so I have a PC turn.
Given that this thing has almost certainly come from the colony's like central processing unit, Jude's got a pretty good idea that he can distract it with his own presence. And so I will open up every broadcast channel my Varg can access, including my own like transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to call out, "Hey, fuckface. It's me you want, isn't it? Come and get me."
One of its sensory organs that you can see on this side of it orients itself to look at you. I have another PC turn.
I'd like to take it.
Okay.
But I think I would like to trigger one of my flashbacks if I can.
Okay, so you're triggering a reverie. What are you acting? What's your action that you're supporting with this reverie?
I think the action that I'm trying to support with this is to try to shake off being stunned so that I can actually take advantage of the distraction that mm-hmm. Jude just did for the colony.
So if you're trying to shake it off, it's probably going to be an integrity roll.
Okay.
Noted. Okay. So you're stealing yourself, shaking off the cobwebs in your own head. And we get a moment of going inside the whoosh as you're trying to focus on your head and your thoughts. And please set up the scene for us.
So the scene is, it's going to be in a classroom for much, it looks like a classroom for, essentially officers training school, or the equivalent of it for the Aeon Trinity. And it is after hours, it is late. No one else is there except for Raphael at 19 years old, and he is sitting across from a table. He's sitting across the table from a woman who is a lieutenant, a military tactics instructor. And between them is a board of the Japanese game Go.
All right.
You've been quiet today.
Unfortunately, I have a lot on my mind. I'm hitting that point, he'll make a move, where I have some decisions that I need to start making.
Yeah, well, I know we've talked about it before, and I really think that you need to consider all of your options. I know you have what you think is the right path in front of you, and do you really feel that your skills are going to be best suited being some stick jock? I mean, out in the field?
It's your move. How many times have you asked me that question?
17, she says as she places down a stone and threatens a very fundamental aspect of your defense.
And every single time I bring this up, and he will bend that off that move quickly with a stone of his own. Every single time you bring that up, it seems like it just takes longer and longer and longer for me to get any answers.
I mean, Bureaucracy being what it is, even with all the efficiencies we have, paperwork takes time. And it's not a counter move, it is a distraction move that 3 months ago would have totally like broken your calm.
Bureaucracy does move, unfortunately, slowly. Unless you know the right people.
Her eyes narrow.
It can move slower, or it can move quicker. And he will make a move that is more aggressive than any moves he's ever made in their previous history playing with each other.
See, this is what I'm talking about, Raphael. Out there in the world, with your hands on a joystick, in some godforsaken locale, going wherever it is that Eon wants to send you, and I will place down a stone that it's building momentum towards something. All you have is you.
Listening, but he will place another.
All you have is you, and whatever rickety bucket they have decided to requisition you, another stone goes down. And in those moments, you will find that your tactical limitations are severely limited. What I am trying to help you understand is that there is a bigger place for you in this world. Another stone goes down.
Bigger place for me, another stone, in the smallest possible fucking place I could ever be in. Stuck behind a desk, stuck behind a screen. Where never seeing the light of day half of the fucking time.
And you can make the moves that really matter. And I place another stone. Again, like, this time the next stone will be the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Raphael, I can do this all day.
You could. 3 months ago, you could. And there is a final stone placed.
And the
but you're not paying attention right now.
And it is decisive. You're not able to make your grand maneuver come to pass because you've been end-runned around. And we'll zoom back out to chaos and confusion as the dancing lights in your head, Raphael. So are you're attempting to overcome the complication and do an action as well?
Yes.
Okay. If you just want to clear your head, it would be an integrity roll. What additional action would you like to make? Like, what is the thing you want to do this turn?
Well, I'm not sure that you're going to let me do it, but let's find out anyway, right, guys?
We'll see.
I'd like to spend a point of inspiration and fire at the colony. And specifically, the point of inspiration would be to use the bigger they are.
Okay. I will say that, I will basically say that there are two complications that you would have to overcome. The stun complication, which is going to be another two. So you'll have to make a total of four successes to overcome both of your complications in order to make an attack roll. Go ahead and make that roll and let's see how that shakes out.
Okay. Which one of these am I rolling one more time?
If you're just firing at it, it's going to be an aim roll.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. Why not? Oh God. I'm sorry. Mildly frightened by doing this, but here we go. And the bonus from the Reverie Seed?
That was a pretty good one. I like the back and forth of that. I will say that it is both target number 7 and 9 again.
Excellent. Okay.
Oh shit!
Okay, hold that thought real quick. Between the sheer number of nines I have rolled, and the successes, that is six successes.
Okay.
My friend.
Six successes, and you use bigger they are yes. to do that. Okay.
And the bigger they are is when in conflict with an opponent of higher scale than you, reduce the difference in scale between you by your highest inspiration facet.
Okay. So you have a four difference in scale. Which normally would mean you wouldn't be able to do anything against this thing. So
and
what
I
is your
happen
highest...
to have a four in okay. my highest facet.
So you completely neutralize the scale between the two of you. Does your weapon have the heavy tag that you're using?
Let's find out.
Really quick, I don't think he can gain scale through this. Equal it.
He can only equal it? Okay. Noted. Okay, so you are at perfectly equal scale. For all of its terrible presence, this thing only has a soft armor of two. Do you have the brutal tag, though?
I do not.
What weapon is it?
Question, what's my range with this thing right now?
I mean, it's so big, you can, like, there's nothing that you can't hit from it.
So the pull would have been the same for my, for me to use my vibroblade, which does okay. have that.
Okay, cool. Then yeah, you are able, you just impossibly chew through this thing. Like it's like hardened exterior, like a just like scab and just terrible skin, and you actually draw blood from this thing. You see this terrible oozing ichor come out. And that is your turn. Let's go with the next PC turn. I believe that is Laughs is our last one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Before you have your go, I need to ask you a question. The crystal that you pried away from the cave, what did you do with that?
It is still in the Varg with Laughs.
Okay. So as you are like just trying to overcome the confusion as like your Varg isn't moving from the shock, the sheer force of kinetic impulse and influx of corruption. You see the crystal floating free right across one of your sense organs. And you just notice that there's a thing in your console that's always been there. It's been just like an indentation. And you notice that that crystal would perfectly fit into that console.
Yeah. Laughs, grabs it, and slams it into the spot.
And you are not here anymore. Your clairsentient vision overtakes you. And you are in a hall of mirrors. You see reflections of possibilities of times. But in the mirror right in front of you, you see the reflection of Otha Herzog. Has Laughs ever had contact with the clairsentience proxy before?
No.
So you look at him and he is looking at you. And, you know, as you are, you know, you see sort of the reflections behind you. Normally when you look into a mirror, you just see, you know, this infinite reflection, but you see alternately him, you. And you understand that you are standing in the present looking forward while he stands in the future looking back. And through the reflection, he says to you, "It is time, then, isn't it?"
"I think so, old man. I think it is."
And he says, "I hope that this conversation comes to pass one day. But in the meantime, I have but one piece of wisdom for you. Sometimes the greatest harmony can be found in a closed fist." And he indicates behind you, and you are able to orient yourself, and you look into the reflection behind you, and you see a sequence of colors arranged, and you snap back into your Varg, and you see that around the focus, around the crystal, there are a series of colored buttons that have sort of become illuminated. Never knew this was there before.
It looks like those buttons all need to be pressed with all arms, right?
Exactly, they do.
Yeah. So Laughs will get into position and do so, hitting all the buttons with all their hands, all their, you know, pointers.
Manipulators.
Yep, manipulators. There we
appendages.
Go.
Appendages. Mm-hmm. All right. So first on your screen, and then on everyone else's screen, a text block appears. I'm going to send it to you all, but I want Josh to be the one that reads it.
In Laugh's voice?
No, it could be Josh's voice.
Darn.
Sorry, Scott. How am I supposed to read this?
From top to bottom.
Okay, just making sure I understood.
Mm-hmm.
You all hear over your communicators Laughs, kind of speaking. "Condition Titanfall met. Proxy Aeon Council's override. Babel dossier asset 117 approved. Signatories: O. Hersog, M. Zwiedler, G. Del Fuego, S. Larson, B. Atwan, S. K. Barano, M. D. Donegal, W. Stiles, S. Rousseau, N. Arser, Archer, M. Mercer, M. A. Mercer. God is in their heaven. All's right with the world."
And Laugh's Varg begins to act on its own accord, its tendrils reaching out to each one of your own Vargs, pulling you into it as a massive pulse of psi energy starts to radiate out, and your Vargs all merge into one scale 6 mega Varg.
Oh my fucking god.
Yes.
Fuck, so, you were Voltron.
You no longer are piloting an individual Varg. You all have action stations. There are 5 action stations. There is primary weaponry, two secondary weaponries. There is navigation and support. And so this is essentially as you are all sort of acting as one, to deal with the problem.
I'll form the head.
Yeah, exactly. all of your weapons are available, as attachments on this Varg. They have quanta connectedly, expanded in their own size. Their own matter has been enhanced. And a countdown that corresponds with 3 rounds is emblazoned on every tactical outlook. So that was a PC turn. Let's see here. Yeah, so the two aberrants on the field are also stunned this round. The three remaining aberrants on the field are also stunned this round. So we are going to go up to the top of the round. And who would like to go in what action station?
Are they the same every turn, or can they switch from turn to turn?
They can switch. It's the same sort of initiative order. But you do need to lock down which action station you're getting in now.
I'm going to claim the support one.
Can I cut this thing since I don't have my close combat nerfed? Any objections?
No, go right ahead.
Go ahead.
What melee weapons do we have? A plasma sword and a vibroblade?
Yes. A biobunker. Two biobunkers, actually. Mine is a little different. It has the heavy and destructive.
I guess which qualities. One's cooler? Vibroblade or vibro sword?
Vibro sword, probably.
I'm 99% sure that is correct.
All right, so. Mentally, I guess Wu reaches to wherever the vibro sword should be, pulls it out, and our hard out's very soon, right?
Yeah, it's getting
returns.
So I'm not going to bother with the reverie. Mm-hmm.
So this weapon has brutal, deadly, destructive 2, melee, two-handed, and Varg scale tags.
All right. And
it's got an enhancement of 5.
Well, I think the Varg scale would go away. I think we're...
yeah.
I mean, it gets what it gets.
Megazord scale.
Are we mentally connected or anything?
Not via a mental link, but you do sort of have like speed of thought communications through the Varg.
Because it's all bio-Vargs. I mean,
yeah, it's all bio-Vargs. Like it's all one single organism of which you are all a part of. So while you have like the speed of thought communication, you don't have like the other benefits of being in a mental link.
All right. So he draws the sword. Washi feng zhong de yipian yetze, and slices down. That is Chinese for "I'm a leaf on the wind."
Ah, okay. So, describe what happens.
The sword vibrates at such a force that the buildings nearby start to crack. The weather is slightly shifted from now a sword that is almost a kilometer long. And then it impacts with the flesh of the colony as all of the hatred that Cesar had towards the aberrants and all of the faith he has in his team to finish this mission pours through the sword and into the colony as he slices downwards through it and into the earth. Well, into the surface of the planet, and then
Mega Prime
has to stop there because his heart gives out.
Yeah. So, yes, you cut through this absolute monstrosity, doing unbelievably massive damage to it. Even with that strike, it is so big and so massive that cutting through vital proportions of it, it is like you essentially excise like a large portion of its tumor body, causing it to just utterly bleed out. Its terrible corrupted blood spills everywhere. And it starts to list over to one side. It is massively damaged, but still up. As your guys' readings of Cesar's axes start to fluctuate and then dwindle, I have another PC turn.
Okay. So, Laughs would like to spend all of their sigh, and in the dying moments of Cesar's life, link up and drain any psi left in him with the and trying to pull on their noetic ability to Leafs on the Wind situation here. Ensure that we can move everywhere that we physically teleport the entire Varg to key places around the battlefield, stomping, slashing, cutting, and getting to the heart of this thing at the center of the planet as the last final moment, and then appearing back near the beacon.
Okay. So you... So I understand.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get to the bunker.
Yes.
If
that's where the heart of this of the colony is.
I mean, we still need to protect the beacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were just trying to kill the giant massive thing that we're trying to kill, right?
That's my thought. Yes.
Okay.
And using all noetic resources available. Maybe even stealing some of Logan's through the Varg.
Where you are.
I think he's basically trying to use what's left out of Wu's teleportation juice to move this big old beefy boy through space.
And with the idea that Laughs is capable of reaching out through clairsentience to the null point of the noetic space to do crazy psi stuff.
Okay.
Once.
If need be, I'm willing to contribute an inspiration for the dramatic editing to allow Laughs to do this, if we're all speed of thought.
Okay. Here's what happens. You access Wu's teleportation. You pouring everything into yourself. You are teleporting chunks of this being away, getting to the heart of it. And for a moment, Laughs, you are out of your Varg. Like you're just not in your Varg anymore. And this isn't a vision. You know this is real. Like, you have been teleported just out of the Varg system. And as, like, this thing is just becoming chunks, as, like, Wu's teleportational energy is tearing it apart, destroying it. Laughs, you find yourself alone in a chamber deep beneath the earth. And you see a person-sized man suspended in this large, very, like, thick, reinforced tank full of liquid. And, like, you see its eyes are open, and it's panicked. And you lock eyes with it for a moment, and you feel that sort of, like, that reflection of recognition. Yes, this is what we're looking for. And the defenses in this chamber come online and melt you.
Fair enough.
So this giant aberrant torn apart by the efforts of Laughs and Wu is just utter chunks. There's some of them are still wiggling, but there seems to be just not connection enough for it to actually bring anything to bear. I have a PC turn.
Is it still alive and capable of threat?
No, it is still moving as a result of just the sheer power and energy that flows through with it, but it does not seem to be, it is literally like
it's twitching.
It's in its death twitches.
Gotcha. Yeah. And okay. And what are the dimensions of the spire that that the space tower goes up?
The dimensions of it? I mean, it goes real far up. Like, I mean, it goes up into the upper edges of the atmosphere. You guys are pretty big, so you guys probably go up halfway up the spire.
I would like to take a turn with the vibra blades, and start hacking into the base of the spire.
Okay.
To try and further disrupt and deny the enemy this obviously asset. Important asset.
Yeah, go
y'all
ahead.
With your vibro blades. I'm over here like a pile bunker, doing real good.
Well, yeah. Actually, wait.
My pile bunker has heavy, so it's one scale above us.
Is that what you want to do? Because I have a thing that I would like to do, but it requires
I was going to burn the last of my resources and murder the other two aberrants that are there.
Mm.
I mean, they're still here and they've got turns.
They do.
Do your thing. Murder it.
Okay. Then yeah, I will grab the vibra blade and sort of just continuing the momentum of Cesar's strike. I will hack into the side of the tower.
Okay, make an attack roll with close combat.
So my dex and close combat have been reduced, so I'm using the reduced values.
Yes.
So that's 5 and 3, so that's an 8. Yes, yes. 8 and that's it. So 8d10. Oh, thank God. That is 3 successes, one of which is a 10. 3 and a 2. So 3 plus 5 for the blade itself. So that is 8 total.
Okay. Yeah. You lay in massive damage, cutting into the support structure. You almost like cut clean through it as the blade kind of get lodged in like this central column of like super dense, like quantum enhanced titanium. But yeah,
bone.
Yeah, bone titanium. Yeah, but yeah, you dig hard into it, causing massive damage. And okay, I'll have the final PC turn if anyone wants to take it.
I will snag it if I haven't gone this round.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
Yeah, so I'm going to use Hellscape again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go ahead and roll that. That is 7 successes. And because I can use any of my powers, I am in this time going to be using the temperature extremes power on the two aberrants that are still standing.
Okay.
And if I don't kill them with the successes I got, I will drain my psi pool to do so, and I have 10 psi left.
Okay.
So it is just constant blast, blast, blast as he just wails in on these two, trying to make them a non-existent threat, melting their very molecules down into nothing.
Yeah. As you are just pulling all of your psi into it, you guys have such massive scale over this thing. You are able to burn all your resources into just lighting these remaining aberrants and melting them into nothing. Clarify, is this a Leaf on the Wind situation?
No, this okay. is not. This okay. is this is before, if we're still not done, if there's still another okay. boss, all if right. the Latin music starts playing.
okay, no. So yeah, you liquefy these remaining aberrants. That is our round. You guys have two more rounds before this beacon activates. You're down 2 people. All of the active threats in this current theater have been eliminated, but more are most certainly coming. But you have, I would say, Yeah, if anyone wants to throw anything out here to try and buy yourselves two rounds.
How much psi did I burn?
Oh, you burned all of them. You burned all of them?
Yeah. Okay. Darn. No more maze.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all gone. It is you are in a utterly blasted hell scythe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're kind of in a lull. There's a pause. More enemies are certainly coming their way. Does anyone have anything that they think could buy these two turns outright?
So if Raphael wants to use one for one and I can use one for mine, we both have access to dramatic editing.
Okay.
Using tactics, not my inspiration.
Ah, yes, that's true.
So literally we can, it's not a reverie, but it is a flashback to us like talking about, you know, a plan, mm-hmm. That we can have a very brief scene with, if you're okay with that, sure, without using this to buy those turns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So what if we Voltron? What do we do then, guys?
I mean, there's no such thing, but if we find ourselves in a lull, there are a couple of different ways that we can position ourselves. There's like, I mean, it really depends on what's coming at us, but we're going to assume this is going to be a full theater overkill here.
Yeah. If we a few moments to think, I can ensure that no matter what happens, we will move in perfect synergy.
Okay. I can take the scuttling charges. I'm assuming Vards have scuttling charges, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can take them and turn them into landmines.
Yes.
That would do it.
If you can do a dispersal, like remote command, like we all can just kind of like eject ours out, we could do a dispersal pattern. That would buy us a little time.
Yeah. And
drop them during the descent and don't actually prime them until, you know, we can prime them remotely.
Well, and we can prime them remotely or make them proximity-based. I can do both.
Yes.
My expertise as a demolitions sergeant comes in handy there.
Perfect.
Perfect.
All right. Now about the entry vector.
Yeah. And we'll... we'll come back to it. And yeah.
The boring part. Yes.
So with these landmines and charges and you guys forming like a perfect defensive perimeter, you guys hunker over this, the beacon for two more rounds, holding off all of the hordes that are incoming as the warp points start to form all around you. And you get the ding of the beacon reaching full activation.
Calibration meter goes finally all the way up.
Boop. And there is a massive psi pressure wave that pushes out physically and psionically around this beacon, like buffeting like the aberrants with its pure assertion of the noetic totality. And light years away, all of the clairsentience and other scions are focused. An intent moment. They know that this is the moment because the old man knew that this was the moment. They begin to scan and analyze every inch of this, the spire, the underground facilities, all of the facilities around. They're collating their visions, getting sorted into focus crystal recording devices for later analysis. And in a secluded chamber, somewhere in the heart of the moon, three figures, Otha Herzog, Matthew Zwiedler, and S.K. Barano, have linked their own psychic abilities together and have pinpointed the chamber where Laughs saw what the face of the true enemy was. And with all of their psychic might together, it is absolutely revealed that this is not just a reconnaissance mission, but an assassination mission. as they, combining their vitakinetic, quantakinetic, and clairsentient strike team, just snuff out the life of the last remaining body of the colony that has a sliver of capital I inspiration, which it uses to avoid death whenever one of its main bodies is destroyed. And it is immortality is stripped away, and the mission is a success. And we have three heroes left on Vega Prime. How does the story end?
Well, our transport is still on station.
We all knew how this was going to end, though.
Doesn't have to end that way.
In the words of a classic piece of literature, fuck that, I'm living.
Okay, So you all live. Your pilot, Void Dancer, Indigo Void Dancer, comes...
with our new AI friend.
Along with...
For flavor purposes, do either of y'all's Vargs have flight capability?
Mine does.
Mine does not.
Mine has big mantis wings.
So the three ones that can fly, we can, once the timer is up and we separate, assuming that doesn't just wreck our Vargs.
No, it does not wreck your Vargs. You just sort of like discorporate and like bubble out. Be bud out of the main mass as it disintegrates into psi-motes.
In our last couple moments of having that speed of thought connectivity, just for funsies, I'd like to ask if Jude and Logan can briefly see how Raphael perceives the world in terms of manipulating things to make sure that our ride can find us easily.
Sure.
Picking out a reality where we live.
Yeah. As you guys are like lifting off, gathering and stuff, trying to desperately get out of the theater of combat that is quickly becoming overrun, you all receive feedback through the Varg system just as it begins to break apart, and you see, you see the moment where you all die in a quantum blast from the colony. You see the moment where, each one of you is the lone survivor. A pair of you are the lone survivor. Are the terror, all combinations of the three, of deaths and survival, until you see the moment of the transport, piloted by your kin ally, snaking its way through the defenses, impossibly avoiding every single hit as it screams down and telekinetically grabs you. And then all of those visions sort of just collapse into, of course, that's what happened. As it screams out, barreling towards the aperture, and we end as the three remaining heroes land quite hastily back in their calm little paradise. And that's the end of Varg IV Salvation.
Woo!
Darn, I had a plan at the end too.
It's okay. The greatest plans of players and players and men. Right.
I was gonna. That was when I was going to do my Leaf on the Wind.
Yeah, that's fine. We're good though. So everyone have fun with this campaign.
Fantastic!
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Glad to hear it. You know what? We can do. We can perform the ritual of XP on our own time. It doesn't really matter at this point. But I just want to know if anyone has anything they would like to plug.
I do have one thing I would like to plug. There is a Kickstarter for a game that I am producing right now called Army Men, that if it is not on Kickstarter when this episode releases, the preview is Army Men is a 5e game of plastic men fighting plastic monsters, including plastic wasp creatures. So if you've ever wanted to play a tabletop RPG where you get to be a plastic person, this is your chance.
Cool. Anybody else?
Yes, I do, actually. Go ahead, you first.
Oh, I was going to say, I actually have something I would like to promote today. The Continuum Player's Guide on BackerKit only has a couple of days left. We've already met our minimum goals and we're at those stretch goal points, but like, go look at it. It has some fun. It has actual shark repellent, you guys. Like, go buy it just for that. The memes alone.
I mean, I can count on how many fingers the times I'd wish I'd had shark repellent.
Well, if you had shark repellent, you'd have one more finger to count on.
There you go. All right. Anybody else?
I do, actually. So, everybody, not only am I, as many of you already know, a member of the cast of ATL by Night, I have a couple of things to plug for you. Number one being that I am one of the founders of Cerberus Interactive Media. We are running in the 2024 season for Midwinter Gaming Convention, two LARPs. Yes, I said two because we're insane. We are running Giovanni the Family Reunion, which explores the transition from the prior editions of the Clans of Death, so the Giovanni, the Harbingers of Skulls, the Somedy, into the V5 unified force that is the Hecata. We ran it last year. People had a really great time. We're running it again this year. All new characters for folks. Secondly, we are also running a really fun game that we have lovingly called the Breakfast Club, where you, as the players, over actual breakfast, will take on the roles of ghouls, the servants of vampires, and you will get to play out their trials and tribulations in a busy night after the last Elysium. Beyond that, I have one final thing to plug, because I believe this will be coming out after we have done the big, big announcement for it. But this year, in October, Cerberus Interactive Media is partnered with Gehenna Gaming to bring you Camp Gehenna.
I have been waiting for that announcement. I'm very eager for this one.
We are indeed running Camp Gehenna this year. You can go and sign up for updates at campgehenna.com. And since Cerberus involved, well, ladies and gentlemen, and everything in between, you know it's going to involve a LARP.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear more about that. I was a little worried. I was like, oh, October, I don't want something to conflict with the thing that I was already going to go to. But it was the same thing.
Surprise!
Anyone else have
real life dramatic editing?
I know. Anyone have else something to plug?
I have one other thing that I just remembered. OnyxCon is coming up here in June. June 16th through the 18th. Sorry, I had to double check the date. You may or may not see some familiar faces, including mine, probably being there, at the very least, running tech. Hopefully actually participating in games this time, though. Yeah. But yeah, show up. It's fun. We have basically a weekend of game streaming for different systems that is going to be happening.
I also may be participating in that in some streaming capacity, so look forward to that.
I am expecting to be dragged into a cast at some point.
At some point. Okay, anything else to plug out into the world?
Yes, I do. Sorry, I know this is kind of plug happy. But I will be participating in a charity stream. It'll be, I think this will be coming out before it happens.
This is releasing on the 20th.
Perfect. This is going to be Sunday, April 23rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to be participating in a charity stream with the Twitch channel Tavernaut, Tavernaut. I will be one of several players playing a game of Witch Familiars called Verhext Nachtmahl by one Brandy Rose. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be benefiting a couple of different charities. Yeah, tune in if y'all can. I will try to make sure that Scott posts the details later.
Yep, those show notes, that'll happen. Sean, anything from you?
No, just my link tree, which I'm sure you will be able to put in the show notes.
It's already there. All right, well, that leaves it to me. Thank you so much for watching Varg Force Salvation. I had a blast running it. I hope these guys had a blast playing it. And I hope you had a blast watching it. If you'd like to support the show and the channel, you can follow us here on Twitch and YouTube at Simulacra TV. You can follow me on Twitter at Simulacra RPGs. But the best way would to go to patreon.com/Simulacra Studios and become a patron. The biggest advantage of that is you gain access to our private Discord with you, where you get to chat with me and all past and present cast members, and have first opportunity at casting calls if you want to play games on this channel. Well, this has been a fun one, guys. I look forward to it, to the next time around. Hopefully we'll have a chance to play with each other again. But for now, see you guys. Have a blast. And remember to keep your arms around the Trinity Continuum. Oh, wait, that's the other one. Fuck. Night, guys.